Yes.
Mr. Bundy calling him on 90.
Just a moment.
Thank you.
This afternoon. One, in order to get the Canadians fully on board with as much of this message to Hanoi as we can get, we think it very important for someone to speak personally with Pearson, and I've tentatively nominated myself because I don't see anybody else. Would you object to my going up there tomorrow morning to give him the picture where we're going to be briefing his man and saying, giving whatever you would authorize me to say this afternoon? Or would you rather have the department do it, or Butterworth do it, or would you want to do it by phone? The difficulty with the phone is it's not entirely secure. What their man is willing to carry in terms of messages to Hanoi may have a great deal to do with how we can get this thing turned off peacefully. And that Mike should know that he was doing it for you and not just for a lot of other people.
I think you can do it Friday. Maybe tomorrow you ought to be here.
Ought to be here. All right, I could do it that way. Second question, Stevenson, you're going to be going up to New York.
I talked to him this morning, and he wanted to come down and see me, and he's going to call me back, and we finally kind of agreed we'd try to get together tomorrow night.
I would have thought that was the best way to do it, and I think we ought to plan that basis.
I'll tell you, the more I just stayed awake last night thinking about this thing, the more I think of it, I don't know what in the hell... It looks like to me we're getting into another Korea. It just worries the hell out of me. I don't see what we can ever hope to get out of there with once we're committed. I believe the Chinese Communists coming into it. I don't think that we can fight them 10,000 miles away from home and ever get anywhere in that area. I don't think it's worth fighting for, and I don't think we can get out. And it's just the biggest damn mess.
It's an awful mess.
And we just got to think about it. I look at this sergeant of mine this morning. Got six little old kids over there, and he is getting out my things and bringing me in my night reading and all that kind of stuff. And I just thought about ordering those kids in there. And what in the hell am I ordering him out there for?
What is Vietnam worth to me?
What is Laos worth to me? What is it worth to this country?
We got a treaty, but
everybody else got a treaty out there, and they're not doing anything about it. Now, of course, if you start running the communists, they may just chase you right into your own kitchen.
That's the trouble. That is what the rest of that half of the world is going to think if this thing comes apart on us. That's the dilemma. That's exactly the dilemma.
But everybody I talk to that's got any sense in here, they just says, oh, my God, please give us thought. Of course, I was reading Mansfield's stuff this morning, and it's just milk toast as it can be. He got no spine at all. This is a terrible thing we're getting ready to do.
Mr. President, I just think it's the only big decision in one sense that this one is one we're having either we either reach up and get it or we let it go by, and I'm not telling you today what I'd do in your position. I just think the most we have to do is to pray with it for another while.
Anybody else that we got that we can advise with that might have any judgment on this question? It might have some, might be fresh, might have some new approach. Would Bradley be any good? Would Clay be any good?
No, Bradley be no good. I do not think Clay would add. I think you're constantly searching, if I understand you correctly, for some means of stiffening this thing that does not have this escalating aspect to it. And I've been up and down this with Bob McNamara, and I've been up and down it again with Mike Forrestal. I think there are some marginal things that we can do. And I think the notion of, also, Mr. President, you can do what I think Kennedy did at least once, which is to make the threat without having made your own internal decision that you'd actually carry it through. Now, I think the risk in that is that we have at least seemed to do it once or twice before. And there's another dilemma in here, which is how the difficulty your own people have in I'm not talking about Dean Rusk or Bob McNamara or me, but people who are at second remove, who just find it very hard to be firm if they're not absolutely clear what your decision is. And yet, you must safeguard that decision and keep your...
What does Bill think we ought to do?
He's in favor of touching things up, but you ought to talk to him about it. I've got an extremely good memorandum from Forrestal that I'm just getting ready for you that shows what he thinks about it. And
what does he think?
He thinks we ought to be ready to move a little bit, and mainly Vietnamese. On the other hand, readiness to do more. He believes, really, that that's the best way of galvanizing the South, that if they feel that we are prepared to take a little action against the center of this infection, that's the best way of moving.
What action do we take, though?
I think that we really need to do you some target folder work, Mr. President, that shows precisely what we do and don't mean here. And the main object is to kill as few people as possible, while creating an environment in which the incentive to react is as low as possible. But I can't say to you this is a small matter. There's one other thing that I've thought about, that I've only just thought about overnight, and it's on this same matter of saying to a guy, you go to Korea, or you go to Vietnam, and you fight in the rice paddies. I would love to know what would happen if we were to say in this same speech, and from now on, nobody goes to this task who doesn't volunteer. I think if we could, we might turn around the atmosphere of our own people out there if it were a volunteer's enterprise. I suspect the Joint Chiefs won't agree to that, but I'd like to know what happened. If we really dramatize this as Americans against terror, and Americans keeping their commitment, and Americans who have only peace as their object, and only Americans who want to go have to go, you might change the temper of it some.
Well, you wouldn't have a corporal's guard, would you?
I just don't know. If that's true, then I'm not sure where the country to do this job.
I don't think it's just Morris and Russell and Greening.
I think it's 90% of the people who don't want any part of it.
Did you see the poll this morning? 65% of them don't know anything about it.
They
and of those that do, the majority think we're mishandling it, but
I'm
they
sure
don't know what to
right.
do. That's Gallup.
Yeah.
And it's damned easy to get in war, but it's going to be awfully hard to ever extricate yourself
if
you get in.
I'm very sensitive to the fact that people who are having trouble with an intransigent problem find it very easy to come and say to the President of the United States, go and be tough.
What does Lippmann think you ought to do?
Well, I'm going to talk with him at greater length. What he really thinks is that you should provide a diplomatic structure within which the thing can go under the control of Hanoi and walk away from it. I don't think that's an unfair statement, but I will ask him to do...
You mean he thinks that Hanoi ought to take South Vietnam?
Yes, sir. Diplomatically.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe by calling it a neutralization and removing American force and letting it slip away the way Laos would if we didn't do anything, and will if we don't do anything. And we would guarantee the neutrality in some sort of a treaty that we would write. I'm not sure I'm the best person to describe Lippmann's views, because I don't agree with him. And
who's he been talking to besides you? Has he talked to Rusk any on this?
He's
talked to McNamara?
He's talked to George Ball, and he's talked to... I don't think he's talked to Rusk, and I don't think he's talked to McNamara.
Wouldn't it be good for he and McNamara to sit down and...
I think it would be very good, but I don't, I had planned to have lunch with Walter on Monday because I couldn't find a workable time before that, but I can do it sooner if you'd like me to.
I wish you would.
I will.
I'll try to get him,
I'll get
his ideas
today.
A little more concrete before I leave here, and I'd like to have him talk to McNamara. I might just have the three of you in this afternoon sometime.
All right.
Walter, McNamara, and him. I'd like to hear Walter and McNamara evaluate this thing, yeah.
All right. What's possible time?
Well,
that's
4 o'clock time you got open.
The damned Irishman is all over the place.
Off-record meeting on Southeast Asia. They got you at 4 today.
That's at 4. That's to review the telegrams to Lodge and other action items that we've been working on the last 2 days.
I've got Ireland at 5, so why don't we just see if they can't come at 4.
I put off the 4 o'clock meeting?
No, yeah, but...
Or do you want to put Lippman at 6, or do you want
No, I've got to dinner tonight.
Yeah.
We could, you and I could get together at 3:45, and Lippman and Mac come in at 4 if they would.
Yes. What happens then to the working meeting is my only problem.
How long do you have to have it?
It wouldn't take you 10, 15 minutes.
Well, I'd say come in, I'll come in 3:45 with you.
We'll try and do that business.
And then have them come in at 4.
All right. Well, I'll make it 3, it's 3:45, and then have Lippman standing by at 4:15, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Or 4 o'clock. From 4 o'clock on.
Yeah.
Aye, aye, sir.